This is The Blitz.
Number two of the Blitz starts now on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the airways at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Our video feed is up on the Periscope on our Twitter and Facebook accounts, which you can find by searching Fox Sports Knoxville for both. Just like you can search to find our app, so you can take the show live with you anywhere you're headed, any time of the day, with anyone you're with. Of course, that is the app, and then the fanrunradio.com website is a fantastic place for all your Tennessee athletics information, for all the podcasts for the shows, the ability to listen live via the internet, all good stuff right there, fanrunradio.com. All right, here we go. Hour number two, Rick Butler, Brandon Ort, Chance Collins, rolling on with the show today, and looking at what we have coming up in this next hour. We will continue to talk about the Tennessee-Washington basketball game that will be played tomorrow night here in just a couple minutes. But other than that, we got a great football week and a preview ahead of us, including confidence picks in both college and the NFL. We have stories from the NBA to talk about. We got a bunch of stuff to do. So let's not waste any more further time, and let's get right into this thing. Going back to the Tennessee-Washington game tomorrow, here's kind of one of the things that I would like to see from Tennessee. And Brandon, you kind of mentioned it a second ago, but I think that between your players of Fulkerson and Pons, I think those two guys, we are seeing how increasingly important they will become in this offense this year, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. Pons is a weird because
we don't know, right, if this is just a hot streak right now or if it seems like, no, hey, this is legitimately a improved all-around offensive game. Or at least I kind of feel like that.
Yeah, and I mean, right now he's playing what? He's playing the – is he playing the four? Or is he playing the three?
Oh, let me think.
I mean, I guess technically he's playing the four, right?
Yeah, because I guess
– because you've got Turner at the one, probably Bowden or James at the two, and then the other one at the three.
Yeah.
And then Fulkerson at five.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, he's your four, but he seems like he can certainly stretch that position out from where it traditionally is kind of located.
Yeah.
He can move all around that half side of the court.
And I kind of like, I mean, this. There's no doubt. I mean, without Plavsic, this team, I mean, we're going to be a small team. We're small.
Yeah.
We're a guard-oriented team. Which is not terrible. I mean, it's been done before, but you're definitely going to need a lot from your guys like Camois. Whenever he comes in, Fulkerson's going to have to continue playing at the level he's playing, if not step it up just a little bit more. You're going to need those guys on the inside because, like I said, we are small. And like I said earlier, I'm waiting for Josiah Jordan James to take that next step. I'm sure he's still getting adjusted, but I'd like to see a little bit more than what we've seen. And I don't know. I like this game tomorrow. I'm not going to be upset if they lose. I mean, this is one of those games. I mean, you've got a lot of these games this year that I mean, they're going to be tested. They are going to be tested. You play Washington, Wisconsin at home. You go to Cincinnati. You gotta go to Kansas. It's gonna, and then not to mention you play Florida State. You play Memphis. So you're gonna be tested before you go into conference play. And I think it's gonna help these young guys a lot, help them come along in their progression, and it's gonna help you even more. I've kind of taken the approach that whatever happens this year, happens. I am 100% looking toward next year. I want the young guys. I want Kamwa. Everybody.
James, yeah.
Everybody will be coming back off of this team except for Bowden and Turner, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, I just want to see improvement across the board from everybody, from Fulkerson, Pons. I want to see everybody take that next step forward in their progression as a player and then get ready for next year. And if we happen to make the tournament, great.
Yeah, okay, so I see what you're saying there in the fact that, you know, hey, ultimately, you're not entirely playing for this season because at the end of the day, you don't have a ton riding on this season, right? It's not like a lot of times we use the phrase their championship window when we're talking about professional teams, right? How many more years does the New Orleans Saints have left in Drew Brees' playoff window? Right, these are some of the things that you would hear tossed around, and I don't really look at that in this way for Tennessee. Right, like I don't look at this as, hey, well, here's Tennessee's March Madness window, and they only have a certain amount of time to get in, and that's why you're going to need all these things to happen this year in these specific ways. To your point, you can kind of take the season slower a little bit, right? There's not as much riding, and sure, we all want to have an amazing season to send off Bowden and Turner on the right notes. But also, you're right. Like, I want Devontae Gaines to be just a lights-out three-point shooter when next year rolls around. Because I think that helps significantly the guys that are coming in. I want Josiah Jordan-James to feel very comfortable running the Tennessee Volunteers offense by mid-season maybe. Right? I don't know if that's too much to ask for. We all know that Josiah Jordan-James certainly a distributor, a playmaker, those things above a pure score.
He's a pass-first guy.
Sure. And so these are all things that are going to take a little bit of time. Like, I think you have a lot more long-term goals than short-term goals for this program. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, I mean, you've got, and we talked about it all year. This year is kind of a tweener year, and then especially
stopgap,
especially when his eligibility is still up in the air. We still have one more decision to come down on Plavsic before he's ruled ineligible. But I mean, you would get him next year. You'd get Victor Bailey Jr. next year. Along with the three five stars that you just signed, and then everybody on this team minus Bowden and Turner. And I like that. You got three guys, three very high-level recruits, five-star guys, mixed in with guys that have experience, that have senior leadership, that have been to NCAA tournaments like Pons, Fulkerson, guys like that. You mix in Victor Bailey Jr., who's a guy who's played at Oregon, a very high-level player. I believe he was a four-star coming out of high school. I'm very excited about next year, and just whatever happens this year, to me anyways, it's all gravy.
Yeah, you're really selling me on next year because you're 100% right. Yes, losing Jordan Bowden and losing Lamonte Turner is certainly going to hurt, and that's going to be a huge gap left. But, man, when you are replacing it with 3 5-stars, when you're replacing it with a 4-star who has legitimate, strong, credible in-game experience that takes him up to that next level, right? That's saying, hey, this was a highly touted recruit, and he could still come in and play well. Like, to be able to put all of these things in together with it, you're right, is fantastic. So we'll see how this season goes, and there's going to be bumps in the road. Tomorrow night, it might be one of those bumps in the road. Maybe it is a clear-cut path to your first appearance in the top 25 this year. I don't know. It could go both different ways, in what my opinion is fairly easily. It's just really going to depend on, to me, which one of Tennessee's bench players are going to kind of step up and say, hey, This is really kind of my game that I want to take over.
Yeah, and something from that Murray State game on Tuesday, in the you can't have what you had in the first half against Washington, and I don't think you will have that. I think, if I'm being completely honest, I think they might have been sleeping on Murray State a little bit. I don't know what you all think, but it kind of seems like they were sleeping on Murray State just a little bit in the first half, and they kind of woke up. I don't think you'll get that on Saturday. I think they'll be looking forward to this game, ready to play, kind of that first test. But can Bowden be that guy that's going to be your leading scorer, or will it be Turner? Can Turner continue to play like he did the other night against Murray State, where he turns the ball over zero times and has 14 assists? Can we get that again?
Yeah, and I think that was kind of one of the reasons why it was a slow start versus Murray State, is because I think maybe the team was a little taken back from, you know, the fact that I think they quickly realized early on that maybe it was an off night for Lamonte. And I think maybe the team had to kind of come together and say, hey, you know, this is just the way this game is going to go. One of our best shooters, if not our best shooter, he's having an off night, and that changes things. How are we all going to change and adapt with that? Obviously, they came out and they said, hey, well, who's got the next hot hand? It was Bowden and Pons that game, and Lamonte was able to come in, and he was able to say, I may not be scoring right now, but I'm still going to work this offense. And I think that is what you saw, and to me, that is fantastic. Because what that is it's just it's a great instance of in-game coaching strategy being changed, in-game adjustments being made, to where you're able to say, all right, game didn't start out like we wanted it to. Things maybe are going a little bit differently. We need to reevaluate. We need to figure out what it's going to take to get us back in this game, give us a good lead, and ultimately get us the win. And that's exactly what they did. To me, that was a fantastic point of just point of interest, I guess, from the game earlier in the week versus Murray State.
Yeah, and Jalen Johnson's another guy that you'd like to see him continue. I mean, he flashed a little bit the other night against Murray State. I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to need to have success this year.
I know it's only two games in, but Lamonte Turner averaging a double-double on the season so far. Sitting right there exactly at 10 assists and 11 points a game. Let's see. Fulkerson is your leading rebounder with about 9 rebounds per game. Bowden is leading the team in most points per game at 18, with Pons right behind him at 17. As I just said, Lamonte Turner leading the team in assists per game with 10. And let's see, what was that other stat? I guess that was pretty much it.
Besides, so I'll take these three off the board.
Okay.
Bowden, Turner, and Pons.
Okay.
To you all, who is the next? Who's the most important player after that? Who do we need? Who does Tennessee need the most to have success this year? Because I think those are your big three.
Oh yeah. Your two guards and then a bigger guy.
It's likely between Triple J and Fulkerson.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I need you to pick one because those were my two, and so I'm just going to go with whatever you don't go with.
I'll go with James. You gotta have him play. He's got to be that you know, next piece to the puzzle.
Well, I think Chance is 100% right. Like, I think it's certainly Fulkerson who – quickly established himself on this team this season as, you know, hey, he's going to be a premier guy. He's not just...
He cleans up stuff. He's going to do all the dirty stuff. He's not going to score a lot of points. He might get like six, you know, probably average like 6-8 points a game, but he'll probably be your leading rebounder. He'll be in there. He'll muck it up with people, and he'll do all the dirty work.
I think we need more than that from Fulkerson. I think you need...
It'd be nice if you got like 10 and 10
I think you need 10 to 12 a night from Fulkerson.
Well, I think what would be huge, because originally I said that about Fulkerson after the first game of the year, because I was not expecting Eve Pons to be coming out, you know, averaging 17 points a game through the first two contests. I think that certainly takes a little bit off, a little bit of weight off Fulkerson's shoulders. But at the end of the day, he is our most experienced, and best big man we have on the team. And for a team that's already undersized, for a team that already is struggling in that department, I think what we've seen from Folky has been great so far. But on the other hand, certainly, for both short-term and long-term, Josiah Jordan James, the most important person on this team right now. At least besides those other three guys that you just mentioned.
I really like Jalen. I want Jalen Johnson and Kamwa. I want those. I feel like those two guys, especially Kamwa. Kamwa, I feel like, has a very high ceiling. I feel like he can be very similar to Grant Williams. He kind of has the same style of play, different body type, but same style of play. And is Jalen Johnson, he's a junior, is that correct? I feel like he's been here forever.
That is correct. Junior out of Durham, North Carolina.
I feel like he could have himself a nice year and be one of those guys that I was talking about earlier next year that's one of those senior guys that's been around. And, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's leading you in scoring or anything. But I think he can be a nice glue man. A nice glue guy that comes off the bench, gives you some solid minutes.
I think he can be a great spot-up shooter from the outside. He's been effective from the outside so far from behind the arc, shooting 37.5% right there. But you're right, Jalen Johnson and Kamwa, two big X factors, you know, considering, you know, are they going to have the most impact or even within the top couple of most players who impact the final score the most? Probably not. But there's going to be times there at the end of the first half and kind of towards that middle part of the second half where your guys are just tired. And their guys are tired too, and you got to put somebody in the game who, you know, you trust to go and get rebounds, like hopefully we'll be trusting Kamwa to do. To be able to spot up and shoot a three-pointer when you need to end a strong run with 10 minutes left in the second half, when every guy on the court is exhausted at that point. Two big X factors from those guys. Also, my last thing to note real quick, just because we've talked about this quite a bit on this segment. We are on now game 4 of what I like to call my Folky headband watch.
The first one doesn't count.
Well, it does. He has had a different headband or no headband style every single game so far. The first game, no headband. Second game, skinny headband. Third game, thicker headband. What is it going to be tomorrow? I don't know, but we are on Folky Headband Watch 2019.
Are you at all concerned about Lamonte Turner's free throw shooting?
No, and I will tell you why. But first, we got to catch a quick break. We got to get this thing back on track. We got to get our timing back on track so we can get through all these confidence picks and whatnot later on in the show. But I do have a strong answer for that. I will give that to you right after the break. 865-546-8200. That is your number to join the show today before we head off into the weekend. Don't go anywhere, though. Quick break. Come back with more. You listen to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. AM, Brandon, you asked me if I was concerned at all with Lamonte Turner's free throw percentage.
Yes, I did.
That is correct?
Yes, it is.
Now, he's shooting, 28.6%. Oh, my God. 28.6% free throws right now through the first two games. And here's what I think. First off, it would be unprecedented, and I would be truly blown away if that number stayed anywhere near where it's at, because it won't. But if you look at his other 3 years, if you look at 2016 through 2019, he's at 76.9, 88.2, and 78.4 as he gets older, I guess, in his career. So all in all, he's about an 81% free throw shooter. It's not great. It's not horrible. And so I think that we've always known that, you know, free throws weren't exactly a specialty He had a very good sophomore year where he shot almost 90%, which was unbelievable. But that is sandwiched in between two sub-80% years. So, to me, like, it's kind of just about where my expectations are, right? Like, I don't expect him to be an automatic free throw shooter.
He needs to be.
Well, that's a different conversation. Grant Williams last year was an automatic free throw shooter, and we needed him to be, and it came in clutch. Shout out Vanderbilt. But I don't expect that from Lamonte Turner, because his career says he's not going to do that.
But he needs to.
Well, you tell him that then.
He's going to have to become an automatic free throw shooter, because there are going to be a lot of games that come down to the wire where he's going to be put on the foul line. As the primary ball handler, I feel like that duty falls on him.
Jordan Bowden, here's his free throw percentage numbers from the last 3 years. 81.7, 73.7, 84.1, which, you know what, on first glance probably equals out to about 80%. So I don't really know right now if you do. If you have just a lockdown automatic free throw shooter.
Well, they better find one.
Well, very much so.
There is nothing that drives me more insane than not being able to hit free throws. Nothing in sports. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing. I hate when teams cannot hit free throws.
I mean, it happens. It doesn't, not the worst thing, but yeah, I mean, guys.
I mean, if you miss one or two, okay, that's fine. But when you just can't hit them, that's what drives me insane. Like, come on. Do you not practice these? Do you not practice free throws? They're free throws, for crying out. Free throws.
Some guys struggle with free throws.
Free chance to throw the ball. Hey, Triple J is 100% free throws on the season.
What is he, 1 for 1?
Doesn't say. So I'm sure that's about where that number is. 1 to 2, maybe.
I mean, I think the guys scored 11 total points.
7.
He scored 7 total points?
In these two games?
Combined?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, he's probably 1 for 1.
He had 5 versus Murray State and 2 versus UNC Asheville. I know it's not time yet.
Not good.
When do you start reaching for the panic button? Certainly you give it a while, right? Here's the thing. You and I especially cannot get close to hitting the panic button right now because of the entire spiel that we just went on that sets up the future as the most important thing. So we can't really hit the panic button about the short term right now.
You know what? I'm going to spin this positively. I'm going to spin it positively. Fantastic. You want to hear the spin cycle? Here we go. Spin zone. All right. Josiah Jordan James, Triple J, he struggles this year. He doesn't play all that well. He finally starts to figure it out toward the end of the year, starts playing a little bit better, but he's not played well enough to go to the NBA. He's not played well enough to be a lottery pick. He can't go to the NBA and get drafted. So you know what he does? Comes right on back for next year.
It kind of sounds like you're selling me an inspirational movie script, like a sports movie script. That's what that kind of sounded like.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
It's a far-fetched theory, but sure.
How? Cool. How is it a far-fetched theory? He's definitely not played well these first two games to go to the NBA.
Well, there's quite a few games left.
I know there are quite a few games left, but I mean, there were people before the season started that said they didn't know if he would be going to the NBA.
I mean, let's be honest. The hope is certainly that he comes back. But also, the hope would be that he doesn't go an entire season without, you know.
I didn't mean the entire season, Rick.
You just mean that he wants to maybe, you know, maybe.
He
maybe
plays. He figures it out. He plays well, but not well enough to go to the NBA.
Okay.
That's what you're hoping.
Yeah. He comes back. Then we got
association.
Then we got 4 5 stars on this team. 4. I believe we have one more scholarship open right now. I believe.
Think you might be right. Mm.
Very interesting.
5 5 stars. That's 25 stars.
That is very much so. 25 stars, Brandon.
Look at all them stars. I'm going to say right now that I have the impression right now, November 15th, 2019, the year of our Lord, 11:29 a.m., that my expectation going forward is that Josiah James does come back for another year. To me, and again, I don't know anything about him personally, his desires, his goals, whatever they are. I don't know any of what they are. But what I can, I guess, conclude from just watching him, from seeing him, from hearing stories, he's just never really struck me as a guy who seems like he's going to go take off for the NBA that quick. And also, Brandon, like you said, he's got to find his game first. He seems to have lost his game back in his high school court. Needs to bring it over to TBA.
Definitely.
But we're excited for when it comes, though. We're just patently waiting.
Patently waiting. There we go.
Oh, wow. How do you come back from that?
You don't. You send us to break.
Going to break. See you after that. AM back here on the Blitz. Going to get into some confidence picks right now, aren't we, gentlemen?
I believe so.
So let's not waste any more time. We have 10 games to pick, as always. We will throw in Weston's picks as well, as he is trying to keep his lead this week. So we got 10 games, no Tennessee game to pick, so that makes things a little bit smoother and a little bit quicker. We got one of those down out of the way already with the Steelers and the Browns yesterday. Chance got his 10
called
point
it.
One right.
Called my shot like the babe.
You did. You
called
did.
It. Didn't even look at anything. Just said Browns 10.
You don't need no stinking method.
Yeah.
Like
damn
you are
method.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez. You called your shot. You stole
the shot.
Home. You made it. Weston also got that right with 1 point, so... We got a 1 and a 10 on the Browns, and then, Brandon, we lost, unfortunately.
You lost more than me, so.
It's all right. Playing the long game.
Interesting names for some of the teams Weston has on here.
Yeah,
maybe he was drunk.
He thought we would get a kick out of it. Did anybody get a kick out of it?
No.
No, yeah. Not really.
Yeah, because it was repeated jokes. All right, let's.
Not let's, funny, Weston.
No. Michigan State at Michigan. We'll start with the college football games. We'll start with that interstate rivalry. Chance, where are you going with this one?
I'm going to go with the Wolverines. I like Michigan. I think they're starting to play some good football over the last couple weeks. Give me the pleated pants and 7 points.
There you go.
It's the battle for the Paul Bunyan Trophy.
Whoa. Prestigious.
Michigan State, Mark D'Antonio. Reeling a little bit. Give me Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh. 10 points. Weston is going with Meat Chicken for 10.
I don't know who that
I
is.
I don't think they're competing tomorrow, so we'll see how that turns out.
That's just a disqualification.
Yeah, I think his 10 is off the board.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is this Eric Berry for Heisman by Swiper Boy?
Berry.
Chance of making my day on a Friday. Look at that.
Eric Berry.
Can we get
if
your
you a football sir. Fan? Then repeat after me.
Eric Berry.
Berry.
Sir.
Eric
sir. Berry. Can we get your pick?
Eric Berry. Eric Berry. Okay, so I'm going to go with Michigan for a full solid Alexander Hamilton.
You guys all went solid 10 on the Michigan State, Michigan.
Yeah.
Seeing
D'Antonio might be out the door. Y'all cashing in?
I don't know. I'm not saying.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, chance, yes.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Never know in this rivalry. But it is at the big house, though. So, yeah.
Moving on. Navy at Notre Dame. Can the midshipmen do it? Can they defeat the Irish? Brandon, will they do it?
No. Notre Dame, 9 points. Navy's pretty good, but I think Notre Dame's better.
Yeah, I'm going to go Notre Dame 9. I think it could be close, like you said, but I think Notre Dame should win this game. Sorry, Ken Niumatalolo.
Yes. Niematalolo.
Like I say it's right, so sure. I will give grace.
You don't want to try?
They're hard. I'm going to go Notre Dame for 9 as well, round out that, and then Weston goes Notre Dame with 8. Let's actually skip that one because that's the Saturday night game. That's college football. We'll do that one last.
These next three are all ranked versus ranked.
Yeah, these are fun. Let's go Minnesota at Iowa. Can Minnesota continue their hot momentum right now? Will they do it against Iowa?
Kirk Ferentz and Iowa. I think they're going to upset them. All those kids, the children's hospital, they're gonna be waving at them.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go out and upset the fighting PJ Flex.
I don't like this. The Method and Chance are both picking Iowa. I came out staunchly against Minnesota last week. And you know what? I'm back in.
Oh.
Row the damn boat. Minnesota, 8. They're going to beat the hell out of Iowa.
Then you're going to be pissed that you finally bought in. You know, damn boat rower. That's what you're going to be saying.
It happened with the damn 49ers. Yeah. I finally bought in, picked
them. Me too. I've been on the 49ers like, I don't know about them. I don't know still.
I was so high on the 49ers all year.
Weston takes Iowa with 3.
I will go with the Golden Gophers for 8 points. Give me Minnesota. Georgia at Auburn. Do the Bulldogs pick up their victory and stay in the college football playoffs, or does Auburn play heartbreaker? Guys, I'm going to go with Georgia with 2 points. I think that Georgia has to win. I think they know they have to win. I believe that the experience of that team will get them a win. They know what's at stake here. They know they've already lost to South Carolina. They know how many doubters they have. They know they're not going anywhere with two losses like that. They got to win here.
As much as I want Auburn to win, I think Auburn's a pretty good team, but they played a really difficult schedule. They had to play Florida and LSU, and then they got Georgia this week, Alabama in 2 weeks. Very difficult schedule. As much as I hope they win, I'm going Georgia with 1.
Give me Auburn with 1 point. Like you said, Auburn with 2 points, excuse me. Auburn has the toughest schedule in all of college football.
And LSU, so it's a really they both had really tough schedules.
And to think for both of them to be able to do what they're doing now is pretty great. And then Fish is going with Georgia for 2. We might have mentioned that already. All right, final college football game to pick. Saturday night primetime game, Oklahoma at undefeated Baylor. Oklahoma fighting for their playoff spot. So is Baylor, unexpectedly, but here they are. Can Baylor do it at home in Waco at McLean Stadium? Will they do it, Brandon?
Weston is going with the Sooners for 9. I'm right there with him. I think Baylor's good. I think Oklahoma's better. I'll go Oklahoma 7 points.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma's pretty good, but the way that they gave up all those points in the fourth quarter, almost lost that game. I think it was last week or either 2 weeks ago. Their defense just really continues to struggle, Oklahoma. I'm not that confident on Baylor, but I give Baylor 1 point.
How amazing would just Oklahoma's dynasty be the last couple of years if they had a defense at any point? At any point with any one of their Heisman quarterbacks.
It'd be pretty awesome. Their defense always letting them down.
Chance, I agree with you, my friend. I'm going to go Baylor with 1 as well. I'm going to say that Baylor plays spoiler. I think that they are a gritty team. I think that they're a tough team. And you know what? They just get it done. They just continue to find ways to win. They're an elite team in college football right now, and I think they proved that versus Oklahoma. But I'm not entirely confident about it.
If Matt Rhule and Baylor can pull this off, Matt Rhule in contention for a bigger job than Baylor this offseason?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, but I do think he likes Baylor.
Come on down to Tallahassee.
Recruiting.
Young guy, pretty young guy. And nobody knew that much about him, I feel like, when he just came off the scene like Temple.
Yeah.
It just was like, oh, it's Matt Rhule guy.
What a
seems like a pretty
man
good coach.
For their job.
He goes to Baylor, and he's been there, what, 3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First couple years, not anything. And then today, yeah.
Just slow progressions as they keep going up.
Is he a ghost out there?
I'm pretty sure I just saw Cam's ferret.
Cam brought his ferret.
Cam has a ferret in the building?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that's what I just saw.
Oh, my God. All right. We won't speculate. Stick around for Talk Sports. Figure out why Cam Black brought a live animal in. Hey, four more NFL games. Let's fly through these real quick. First one coming up, Texans at Ravens. I'm going to go with the Ravens for three. I think Deshaun Watson is obviously a guy who can win any game at any time, which is why I'm only going 3 points. But give me Lamar Jackson, the human video game player, to beat the Texans.
Yeah, I wanted to go Watson right here. I mean, this thing's going to be the game of the week. Ravens, Texans, two just prolific quarterbacks. The future of the quarterbacks in the NFL right here. These will be the two stars for the next, you know, 10, 12 years. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson, though, and the Ravens because they're hot. And I hate to be like the old cliche, but everything is really slowing down for him. And they have a lot of confidence with him in Baltimore, and they're willing to put all their, you know, trust in him. I got Ravens 6.
And you know what the most incredible thing is, too, is that when they did decide that they were going to go away from Joe Flacco and they were going to move on to Lamar Jackson, all credit in the world to John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Because he completely said, hey, a lot of people may tell us we're crazy, but we fully trust
something.
Lamar Jackson, and we are going to change the playbook, and we are going to stick with it. We're not going to go back to this Joe Flacco offense if it doesn't
start
working.
Look at Joe Flacco now.
We are going to change the playbook for Lamar Jackson. John Harbaugh should get the Coach of the Year for that alone.
Joe Flacco, yeah, he had his little, like, where he went undefeated in the playoffs. But Joe Flacco, product of a damn good defense.
Yeah.
That got him paid.
I'm with you all. I'm going Ravens. I think the Texans, like you said, Rick, and Deshaun Watson, I think he can single-handedly win the game, but I don't trust that Texans D. I'll go Ravens too.
The Fish is going Ravens 6 as well. Final three games, rapid fire. Patriots at Eagles. Gentlemen, I'm going to go with the Patriots with 7.
Yeah, Patriots 6. I don't even think it's close.
Pats 5.
Fish is going Patriots at 5 as well.
Bears at Rams. Can the Bears continue their win streak as of last week? I'm going to say no. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams with 5 confidence points. They get it done at home.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears' offense is just non-existent almost. Rams seem to – I think they're kind of figuring it out. I'll go Rams 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rams 8. I just don't trust the Bears at all. I mean, just Mitchell Trubisky is pretty bad. They don't have any type of quarterback.
And then last but not least, the Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers in an AFC West matchup. Notice I didn't say SEC that time. Kind of proud of myself there. Shameless brag.
Proud of yourself for speaking right.
Good for you, Rick.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Exactly.
I will go with Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs 5 points. I will not be picking Phillip Rivers and the Chargers after that abysmal performance on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, I want to go with the Chargers because all you guys are going with the Chiefs. Phillip Rivers, like, it's like the Chargers do that up and down. They're like the Titans sometimes. You just never know. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs because there should be too many weapons out there for the Chargers to handle.
Patty Mahomes is back, and he says he is feeling better than at any point this season after the first game of the season. Give me a healthy Patty Mahomes over almost anybody in the league. I'm going to go Chiefs with 6. The Fish goes Chiefs with 4, and that concludes our confidence picks for the week. We got a big week. We'll see what these scores look like coming on the other side of the weekend. But for now, we'll catch a quick break, jump back into the final segment of the show today, give you our last-minute thoughts flying into the weekend. Don't go anywhere. You listen to The Blitz, Fox Sports Knoxville. Back here on The Blitz, 11:51 a.m., wrapping up the show here. Rick Beller, Brandon Orrick, and Chance Collins. And we will start off our final segment of the show today by heading over to the phone lines and taking a call from our good friend, Roger. Good morning. Well, maybe it's not morning anymore. Hey.
It is.
Okay. All right, fine.
Still a.m.
Good morning, Roger. How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
You too. Good talk to you too. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing well, Roger. Even though it's noon, would you still consider it the morning time?
I say late morning maybe.
Yeah,
it's not noon yet, Rick. It's not noon.
Yeah.
That's the answer. You've convinced me.
Well, anyway, I just want to ask y'all a question, too. That's what I asked you about the main plan. I know the main plan to watch noon, 5 o'clock, playing Washington. That's why I asked you about the game. That's why I asked you. I don't know. I heard Washington's a good team. I just wanted to ask you how you think Tennessee's going to do against Washington tomorrow.
I think, Roger, I think they'll play well. I think they'll come out ready to play. I mean, the other night against Murray State, I think they were a little off, a little sluggish. I think tomorrow they come out ready to play. I don't know if they win necessarily, but I think they play a close game.
Okay. How about you, Tan, the same way?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say that I agree with Brandon.
I hope he can do good tomorrow. At least to play well.
It's gonna be tough, but. I mean, as long as you get your guys, we talk about the same guys we were talking about earlier, you know, the big three, and as far as you get some of these other guys heated up. I mean, if you can get Triple J to start scoring some points. But, yeah, for the most part, I think it's going to be pretty good. But this is like – I think Brandon said it like a week ago, like you'll know like how good your team is, I guess, when you got a better opponent coming up this week, an actual decent opponent, not some of these inferior, you know, like mid-majors. So you will know a lot more about your team after tomorrow.
Raj, here's my thing is that we know the game is going to be a neutral site game. We know it's going to be in Canada of all places. So you're going far away on the road. You're going to different time zones. You're going way up north where it's freezing cold
right now.
We're
in the same time zone.
I thought we were going more west in Canada. Okay, whatever. No. So you're going up north. You're in Canada, though. But bottom line is that it's a new place. It's hard to play those neutral site games. Whenever you do have those games, you got to rely on two things. Number one is your experienced players. Number two is coaching. I fully expect us, if we win tomorrow, a lot of that because Rick Barnes coached a very good game in what is a unfamiliar environment. I think that Rick Barnes coaching tomorrow and our seniors on the team are going to be the most important.
Right, I got you. And also, I Washington, how good? I heard some women be upset. How good is Washington? You know how good they are.
I mean, they're ranked 20th in the country. I think Rick said they beat Mount St. Mary's earlier in the year, and then they beat Baylor
to start off
at a neutral site, and Baylor was ranked 16th in the country. So, I mean, they've already got a better win than Tennessee does. But I mean that doesn't mean anything. Tennessee can still get the win, but they are a little bit more proven than Tennessee is.
I think moral of the story is if you win, you're probably putting yourself in the top 25, which is a great place to be 3 games into the season. And if you don't win, I think that's all right. You know, it's a loss early in the season, so there's plenty of time to recover from it. You're obviously, if you lose, that just means you're going to have things to work on, things to improve on for the next game. If you win, fantastic. If you lose, it won't be the end of the world. We'll come back on Monday. We'll figure out how to get things back on track. Any final thoughts?
Go Vols.
Yeah, go Vols.
GBO, have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into our show today. We really appreciate you you being here. We will be back same time, same place, Monday morning. 10 a.m. You won't want to miss it. We got a huge show coming up then. Otherwise, for Chance Collins, for Brandon Orrick, I am Rick Butler. Talk Sports is coming up next. You've been listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Have a great weekend.